Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain. Always fun to put the political life aside from my TV world and get into the entertainment and theater and art scene here on the WGN Radio podcast, because today is probably one of the most exciting shows we have done, maybe ever, certainly in a very long time. But coming out of that video, which you just saw, that's rehearsal video for a show that is playing here in Chicago one night only. It's Saturday, October 15th. Yeah, that's like tomorrow. It's going to be at 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock at the Cadillac Palace Theater. But look who's joining me. Stephen Schwartz, the amazing, the incredible Stephen Schwartz, who is probably in town to walk down the street to see Wicked, which is having this incredible run. Stephen, good to see you again.
Hey, Paul, good to see you too. And you're absolutely right. It's a double dip for me here. I'm here to try and help out a little bit with Children of Eden. And then actually tonight, I'm going to see Wicked.
Do they know you're coming to the cast
now? Oh, sure. Of course. I don't sneak in on people.
Okay, I would. Yeah. I would, because I would just like to hopefully somebody will record their faces when you get there. So listen, for people, I mean, I think everybody knows who you are. But by the way, we last met when you joined me for my backstage show, Broadway in Chicago Backstage. It was for Working.
Right. Ago,
and yeah. You performed Fathers and Sons for the audience. And we're still talking about it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like singing that song. You know, it's kind of has personal resonance for me. So and it's yes. One I like to do.
And you talked about that, in fact, and I still have it on my, all these years later, it's on my DVR. So I still have it from when it ran. But people should know Godspell, which recently played, by the way, at Theo Ubuque Theater here in the Chicago area. Really intimate theater, really wonderfully done. Wicked, I don't even have to talk about that. It's just one of the classics of all time. But The Baker's Wife, Working, which I mentioned, The Magic Show. If I talk about all your credentials, we're never going to talk about the Children of Eden. So we've got to get to that. So welcome to Chicago. And so for the Children of Eden, that may be less familiar to people of your work than some other shows. So talk about what is leading you to bring it here to Chicago, bring it now. And it's one night only, one day only.
Yeah, well, actually, a group of Chicago theater folk decided they wanted to do a concert presentation of it. They, you know, it's a show that means a lot to them. And they've thrown together an amazing cast. Mark Michelson is the main producer, and he's put together mostly great Chicago local people, but brought in some terrific singers, David Phelps and, Michelle. Obviously well done. Yeah, Michelle, also very, both of them very well known, and they're great. But the rest of the cast basically is Chicago folks, or most of them are Chicago folks.
And actually your local director here, Derek Van Barum, who's also an alum of my backstage.
Exactly.
Oh, he's a fabulous director. He just
fantastic.
Did Head Over Heels for Cocaine. Yeah. So, yeah. Did you put this team together? Or they put it together for you?
No, they basically put it together for me, you know, and then since Wicked was here also, I thought, well, I'll come in and see if I can, you know, help a little bit and just work on a little bit of the music and et cetera. But basically, I'm mostly an audience and a spectator here.
Gotcha. You mean like Noah out, Moses in? No, I'm kidding. So for folks who don't necessarily know the story of Children of Eden, I mean, it is Children of Eden. We get all those folks. But tell our viewers.
Yeah, it's basically the first 9.5 chapters of the book of Genesis. It starts with the creation, you know, small theatrical event, the creation of the universe. And it goes until right after the flood. So the second creation. And so obviously it's about second chances and trying to learn from past mistakes, et cetera. And it has a version of the Adam and Eve story, a version of Cain and Abel, and then skips ahead to Noah and his family. But, you know, as always with what I like to do with familiar stories, like Wicked, where you take a familiar story, but you come at it from a different point of view. Children of Eden does that with these very familiar Bible stories, which is it comes from a different point of view to talk about families and interrelationships within families, and then, you know, sort of how we deal with our planet that we've been given, etc. So it uses those stories to deal with contemporary issues.
And this is a show, I mean, this is not a brand new show. You wrote this one a couple of decades ago.
Oh, yeah. Children of Eden gets done all over the place. Yeah. But it's a big show, and it will be big here. I don't even know the size of the chorus, but I think it might be a triple digit size. Wow. There's like it's a show, of course, that it will be here at concert, but it's also kind of an oratorio in that there's a lot of choral singing, and consequently, it utilizes a very big local chorus. So, yeah, there's a lot of bodies on the stage.
And of course, your productions are now, because with Wicked down at the Nederlander, you are in the two grand houses, among the two, because we've got a lot of them here in Chicago, but you're among the two grand houses. And you're actually talking to me now from the lobby of the Cadillac Palace Theater.
That is correct. Yeah, I don't know when the last time you've been behind me.
Yeah, but isn't it? What is it? What does it still, after all these years, do you walk into a grand space like that and just, does it move you at all?
I do. Chicago has just some beautiful, big, as you say, grand theaters, and they have such an atmosphere and such a history to them. So, and they're very well maintained, of course. Yeah. So, it has a great sort of emotional feel to it when you come in here.
So, and by the way, the stories you play with Adam and Eve, because I actually watched it again just the other day to refresh myself and watch the concert presentation, because that's what this is going to be. But so you do, you play with some of the, well, I don't know if facts is the right word when you're talking about the Bible, but you play with a couple of details here and there.
Yeah, well, it as I say, it comes from another point of view, and, re-examines, the choices that Eve makes, that Cain makes. You know, in the Bible, there are sort of the heroes and villains of the story. And in Children of Eden, it's much more complicated than that, the way life is more complicated. And the way Wicked does the same thing, plays with, what we think of, like, this is the good guy, this is the bad guy, but obviously re-examines that. And Children of Eden does a similar thing.
You know, as I saw Wicked, and I just saw that again just less than a week ago, and my partner's already gone back twice, and I've seen the show in my life probably a million times, the first time actually being the opening night in New York with Idea.
Oh, wow.
With our author sitting behind me. It was fabulous. But anyway, we take for granted, we listen to the music that you write for Good and Defying Gravity, which I think is what's one of the greatest almost anthems of all time. I just have to ask you, how do you do this? What, because I'm sitting there, you start by sitting at a piano or something and just go, let's see, I think I'll write a song called Defying Gravity and just make it. How do you do it? What is the process?
Well, you're right. I do, sit at the piano, and I do usually have a title. But it's always because I don't write, individual pop songs. Mostly. I mean, I'm always writing for a story and for characters. And so I'm trying to both think about what aspect of the story am I trying to tell? And then I'm trying to become the characters who sing that part of the story. And so I'm coming from that point of view. And then, whatever comes out is attempting to accomplish that. As opposed to, I think I'll write a song, called this. It's more like, well, what's happening in this scene, and what do the characters want, and what's the conflict, and where does it start, and where does it end in terms of the storytelling? Those are that's basically the approach that I'm taking.
When I saw Idina Menzel play Elphaba for the second time, this is how naive I am. I went, no one else can ever do that role. this is just unbelievable. Well, of course, yes, other actors can do that role and they hit the notes and they're just fine, though she was amazing.
Adina is an amazing talent. Yeah. She's, you know, I've just been working on the soundtrack album for the Disenchanted movie, Disney's sequel to Enchanted. And Adina has a big song in it. And it's just, she is just otherworldly. It's amazing what she can do with that voice.
Well, but and she needs your music to make it happen. You know, when you talk about sort of I have a name, whatever, what about, I think one of your early works was Butterflies Are Free, the theme.
Yeah.
Does that fall in this category? Or was that more of a, I have to just write this gorgeous theme?
Well, thank you for calling it that. No, there was a very specific assignment. If you remember the play, it's about a young man who's blind, who wants to be a folk singer. And so the assignment was write a folk song, the kind of song that this young man might write. And I thought, well, because he is blind, there shouldn't be any visual images. All the imagery should be kind of feeling images and, you know, sounds, but nothing visual. So again, it's a specific storytelling assignment.
This is not, Children of Eden is not your first foray into the world of the Bible. Godspell, probably one of the most classic musicals of all time. As I said, just played here very recently at Theo Ubuque. So it looks like you've given equal time, little Old Testament, little New Testament.
Exactly. Well, Prince of Egypt is Old Testament.
Yeah, right. So what is it? I mean, so is this something, does it go back early in the day? Is there a fascination with these biblical stories? I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber had Joseph, you know, what is it with some of those old stories?
They're great stories. You know, and I think Andrew, who has a very keen sense of theatricality as well, that's why he is attracted to them. You know, they're big stories with big ideas, big conflicts, and big emotions. And so that lends itself, obviously, to musical theater.
So this is Children of Eden. That's, we need to talk about that to be sure. So it is a concert performance, as you've said. By the way, I'm hearing some rumors, stories, let's make news, but is there a potential Broadway production headed in its near future?
Well, as I said, Children of Eden is a big show. So it's complicated to figure out purely from an economic point of view.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the feasibility of how to do it on Broadway. There's always been talk about it over the years. And yes, there has been some renewed talk about it, but it still is an economic challenge to figure out how to afford to be able to do it.
And by the way, if I'm right about this, Children of Eden was supposed to be on that stage a couple of years. I mean, the pandemic got in the way of this, right?
Exactly. This concert was supposed to happen, I guess, back in 2020, maybe. And then the pandemic got in the way. So it's nice that they've, you know, been able to put it together these couple of years later.
So one of the reasons I ask about the possible Broadway run is, as you know, so many things come to Chicago pre-Broadway, although I think you took Wicked to Seattle, but I won't ask about that.
San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco. I'm sorry. San Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, even so.
we want it still was in Chicago.
We want everything. Exactly. So that's why I wondered, because this is the, you know, production in quite a while. So I was like, are you here? And you're here. So are you listening? Are you want that feedback from that fantastic Chicago audience?
Yeah, I mean, I've frequently said, Paul, as you know, that I think Chicago is the best theater town in America, and I include New York in that. I think Chicago audiences are very smart, but they also come kind of rooting for the show, is what I found. And I've started a lot of things here, and actually, you know, have another new thing that I'm working on that I might, you know, with some luck, maybe we'll be able to start that here as well. It's just a great place to be able to put something before an audience when you're working it out yourself, because the audience is part of that process then. This is a very knowledgeable theater audience, but it's an enthusiastic and essentially positive theater audience, and that's very helpful for writers.
Yeah, we love our theater. And I always, as you said, I know New York has that label, but when I view New York, and Lord knows I see everything there, but it's a tourist town as well, right? So when you, when you're presenting your show, you're presenting it to New Yorkers, but you're presenting to a lot of tourists too. But in Chicago, you're getting us, I mean, tourists as well, but you're really getting Chicagoans.
Exactly. Well, I mean, New York is more like you try and get the finished show there. But it's not a place that you particularly want to work out a show. It's a much tougher environment in which to experiment and try things out. Chicago, and it's a long, long history, but it's very conducive to that.
Wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't follow up on what you just said. I heard you say you're working on something new, whatever. Are you going to put me off on that? Or can you give me a little tidbit of what?
No, I'm going to put you off on it. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it at all, but I have a big mouth.
To ask.
There's just starting on something new, and maybe with a little luck, you know, we can, Chicago audiences can see it early in its development process.
Well, if it's reworking a Fiddler, let me know. I'm happy to play Tevye for you.
So. Okay, right. I'll let you know when I do that.
So when you do create, and I kind of opening this up for almost everything, again, Wicked's here, so it's a good one to point to. But as you said, so the book, from what you're saying, is the book has to come first. You need to, or do you ever start with, I've got some great music ideas, song ideas, and maybe the book develops pursuant to what you created?
I don't work that way. I work with my collaborators, certainly the book writer, sometimes the director, sometimes the producer, depending upon how early they're involved with the project. And together we work out the basic structure and the basic story. And then I actually like the book writer to start. He or she doesn't have to write an entire script, but just to know, how do these characters talk, and what's the tone, what's the feel of the show, and then, you know, I work to that, as opposed to, oh, here's a song, find a way to write around that. That's not my process.
And what role do you play? So I have this theory. Some people see it, I don't, but in Wicked, in Defying Gravity, her last moment, right? The last note she hits, right? I sang for Stephen Schwartz. The last note that she hits, and what I saw in Idina was the shift. It was, she became that witch in that second, and the lights go out and she's the witch. And of course, I kind of got mad at you because I want to give her a standing ovation. I want to go bananas with her, but we can't because it's intermission and it's so frustrating. So my two questions, number one, am I right that I did see that moment, and do you play a role in that? And number two, why don't we get to give her a standing ovation, and why do you take us to intermission?
Well, first of all, you are correct. That is basically the storytelling job of that song, is you want to suddenly see her. This transformation has been happening through the entire first act, but suddenly it all comes together and you see the character that you know as the Wicked Witch of the West. Joe Mantello, our great director, staged this wonderful moment too, where the last little piece of her costume, which is the cape, gets put on her. Yes. And the way he staged it was that he put Glinda, who puts the cape on, in front of the witch, so she's obscured for a minute, and then Glinda stands aside and Elphaba stands up, and suddenly you see the Wicked Witch of the West, and it's such a great, you know, such a theatrical moment. So yes, you're absolutely right. It's true that you don't really get a standing ovation at intermission, but we do get that amazing roar that you hear from the crowd when the lights go out. There's that sound in the theater that's really exciting.
So Elphaba hears that, whoever Elphaba is.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yes, definitely hears it.
I had the same gripe with Color Purple, by the way, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. That's another one of those moments.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm not going as Dreamgirls, but another one. Though when I saw it originally, Dreamgirls, I think it did get a standing ovation, like in the middle of the act. I think it did get it. Yeah,
I got. Oh, did I say? Oh, I said Color Purple. Yeah, of course, Dreamgirls with Jennifer. It was amazing. Let's back to you. So, by the way, I have a regards to give you because another show. I don't know how long you're here, but we have a show called Cabaret Zazu premieres as Luminaire. It's playing right next to the Nederlander, and Frank Ferrante stars in it, but also starring in it as one of the singers. And I interviewed him yesterday, and I told him I was going to talk to you. He said, please give him my love. But James Harkness is in that show and that performance.
Yeah.
And I said, have you worked with Stephen? He just gave me a, oh, yes.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's great. Yeah, and again, you know, it's really a privilege to be here. And we talked about David Phillips, you know, and Michelle Williams here, but, you know, Sam Tsui and, you know, great singers here and Children of Eden and just Chicago is so full of really talented people. You know, the ensemble members will step out and sing a verse or sing a line, and they're all great. So, yeah, it's really nice to be here with Chicago talent.
And people are incredibly excited that I'm incredibly excited that you're here. I'll speak for me.
Thanks.
But let me also, so when if people haven't attended a concert production before, they might think everybody is in tuxedos and, you know, and fine dresses, and it's like they're going to the Lyric Opera.
It's not black tie,
right?
But the point being that though they're costumed, the actors are costumed, and there's a little bit of staging every now and then because it's been put together so quickly. Mostly they will be at music stands, and they'll have their music and scripts with them. But you already talked about Derek, you know, what a clever director he is. And so he's staged a very good flow for it. And there's choreography in spots, et cetera. So it's definitely not people in tuxedos, you know, just standing, park and bark, as we call that kind of singing. It's not that.
When you play a role in rehearsals and such, I'm thinking back to, I know your old friend Stephen Sondheim, and I'm sure you know when Sondheim was in a space, people just freaked out, right? I mean, I've talked to actors who, you know, with Sondheim in the room, nobody can talk, nobody can do anything, and they're just freaking. But I don't think you give off that. This is a compliment. I don't think you have that vibe. I think people
not at all. Yeah. No. Not at all. I certainly strive not to. You know, I think we actually talked about this at one time. One of the very first gigs that I had was writing lyrics for Leonard Bernstein's Mass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a very young man. I was 23 years old, but I learned that from Lenny. I saw how he dealt with people and strove to get them over his own celebrity, if you know what I mean. He was so generous of spirit with everybody. And I really admired that. And I thought, you know, if I get to be well known, I really am going to try to emulate that aspect that I'm learning from Leonard Bernstein.
Are you aware, this is an unfair question. I know you're a humble guy, but I just feel, are you aware of what like a big deal you are? I mean, you are a legend, one of those other living legends that are around. And it's just, I mean, do you like touch base with that? Or are you sort of like, yeah, no, not really. I don't think about that.
I'm more the latter, Paul. You know, I mean, it's very, I don't internalize that at all. You know, I just am happy that I've been able to do this for a living all these years because I love writing and I love putting on shows and I love collaborating with other talented theater makers, whether it's the actors and singers or the director or the choreographer or the conductor. That's just so much fun for me. And basically I'm coming to each project with that attitude and that excitement. Yeah. And I don't really, I'm not really outside myself looking at myself, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm outside you looking at you, and I just got to
well,
tell you. And when you're writing for movies, for Pocahontas, Hunchback, you know, I can go Prince of Egypt, on and on with Disenchanted, as you said, and now Disenchanted, how does that differ? I mean, if somebody says we need you to write for an animated film versus you're about to create a Broadway production or even a concert production.
You know, the truth is it's really not different, essentially, because you're still trying to tell a story. You're still trying to illuminate the characters. You're still trying to figure out how to use what you are doing to advance the entire project. The difference with movies is one has to be aware that movies are very visual and the camera's not going to be holding still. You know, on stage, you can just have a singer stand in the middle of the stage and hit them with three spotlights and they sing for 3.5 minutes and it's, incredibly exciting. You can't do that in a movie. You know, they're called motion pictures for a reason. So
do you have a preference as to which one you are working on? If you're given two projects, one a movie, one a Broadway production, which one do you go with?
It's more what the story is. The story is more important to me than the particular medium in which it's going to be told. I really enjoy doing movies. I mean, it's no secret that we're in the midst of preparing the film version, the movie of Wicked. And, you know, we're in pre-production for that now. I've been doing recording sessions, and our fantastic director, John Chu, has been sending me, you know, little pictures of things that he's developing. And it's incredibly fun and exciting.
Well, and since you mentioned it, it's also been announced that Wicked is going to be a two-part movie, because we can't
That's
get
correct.
It all in one. I'm curious, was that a John Chu call? Was that a Stephen Schwartz call? How did that happen?
It just developed over time. It was all of us. And of course, Universal, the studio, who's producing it. And we kept trying to get it into one movie without it being, you know, 3.5 hours long. And we were always like cutting things that we felt bad about losing. And so finally the decision was made, well, let's just do two movies. And that way we can do everything that we want to do without, as I say, everybody getting exhausted just by the length.
And maybe you don't know this yet, but will movie number one end with Defying Gravity? I mean, is it going to follow things in that way, or we should get ready for new and different things?
I mean, I guess I have too big a mouth, and I'm probably not supposed to say
this. We're friends. There's nobody listening.
It seems to me pretty obviously that movie one ends with Defying Gravity. I mean, how could it not? You know, so yes, it does. And now I'll probably get in trouble for having said that.
And I know what's going to happen too. She's going to hit the note. The lights of the theater are going to come up, and we're going to applaud and still not have that moment of.
No, there's a little bit. It's very cinematic. So something really cool happens at the end of it. I can tell you that.
Okay. So now that's not an animated film. So that's a different kind of challenge for you, right?
Yeah. Live action.
Where does that fit in the scheme of things of your love?
Well, you know, I'm working with two unbelievable great singers and performers and actresses, actually, as the stars in Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. And so, you know, the fact that they're going to be on film and yeah, it's not just their voices, it's them.
Yeah.
And Cynthia will be green, of course. So, yeah, it's going to be really fun.
And by the way, kudos to you for a couple of my friends have been in Wicked in New York. Alexandra Billings, who's a good friend, was the first.
Alexandra was so fantastic in the show. She was great. And I really enjoyed her performance. It was great to see her.
And the first trans performer casted in that kind of lead role.
Yeah.
So kudos on that. And she's so unbelievable. She's perfect for that role.
She was great. She was funny, and then she was scary, and she sang it well, and she commands the stage, you know, with such presence. She was fantastic.
Oh, she's been to my house for dinner. She's funny and scary in that way too. I gotta tell
you. Well, I don't know about the scary part in real life, but she was scary on stage.
Well, I served fine Crystal, and I said, be careful, Alex, because you could break one of those glass. She wouldn't touch it. She said, I want a paper cup. And you also have another Chicagoan, at least understudy, Bach. Yando Lopez is out in
New York now. Very talented.
So we have a lot of Chicago talent. Well, we're going to see.
Yeah, well, Rondi Reed was a Morrible for a long time. Yeah, yes. there have been a lot of you know, great Chicago performers who've favored us with on Broadway for a while, and then, you know, come back here, etc.
Well, Children of Eden is going to have two performances at 3 and 8. Now,
right.
Are you going to be there? Are you a fly on the wall? Are you high? Will people get? Oh, there's Stephen Schwartz.
Full disclosure, I have a previous commitment, and so I can't be here for the actual performance. I'll be here for dress rehearsal tomorrow, and, you know, just I've been working with everybody for a couple of days, but disappointingly, I have a previous commitment in New York on Saturday, so I'm going to have to be there.
Do you want me to video it for you, and I'll just send you...
Yeah, please do a pirate video. We're not supposed to say that. Nobody do
that's
that.
That's a joke. It's a joke.
That's wrong. Yes, we're joking.
Nobody do that. Well, people can get tickets and check it out. And you don't have much time, man. This show is Saturday, 3 and 8 o'clock. As I said, I'm going to be at the 8 o'clock, and I just can't wait. BroadwayInChicago.com is where you can get tickets. Stephen, Chicago just loves you. I love you, and I think you get that from this.
Thank you, Paul. Together. No, I always love being here. I'm excited when I get to come and work here, and as I've intimated, I'm hoping that I'm that may be in my future as well.
I hope so too. I thank you for your time. I know you're dealing with rehearsals and all sorts of things. I'll miss you with the show, but we'll stay in touch. And
well, I'm glad we got to say hello here. Yeah.
Me too. Children of Eden, don't miss it. This is a once in a lifetime, well, at least once this week, a lifetime thing.
One day only.
One day only here in Chicago. Yeah. Stephen Schwartz, yeah. A living legend. I appreciate you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Always great to talk to you.
You well.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.